Support for GLT comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, the place to go for things that grow. Proud sponsor of the Dean of Green on GLT. Open 7 days a week on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington or anytime at niepegans.com. NIEPAGENS.com. This is GLT.
It's easier than you think to create a little verdant world of your own. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences, it's Mr. Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Laura Kennedy, great to see you.
And today on GLT's Grow, Murph is talking about terrariums. They're so adorable.
I think it's interesting that we talked not too long ago about miniature gardens, and we're talking about terrariums, you know, and I think that's because the gardener's mind is thinking, don't make me go outside. And you won't have to go outside for the terrariums either, you know, and a lot of the product and merchandising is the same, but a terrarium is different from a miniature garden because it's a sealed, transparent form of a container that plants grow in. That's our basic definition.
So what should we start with? If we want to start a terrarium, what's a good container for that?
Well, I think a fish tank is actually a good one because your first time at doing a terrarium, if you can place both hands inside there to do the work, I think you're going to have a lot more success with it.
Then if you use like a bell jar or something like that.
Well, that's what you're going to get to. So I always like to talk about P. Allen Smith. If you're listening, sir, you are the man.
We love
you. Okay, and Grow Corporate loves you too. And I say that because he's one of the experts in terrariums. And if you've ever visited his home or purchased one of his books, he's all about the terrariums. And he collects the antique glass that is used for them. And that is a great part of the charm as well.
But if you're just starting out, it's fine just to get a nice aquarium.
It is, you know, and I think about people's power was out in the winter and maybe they had a bad experience with a fish tank.
Yeah.
Well, don't throw the tank away.
Try something new.
Try something different, right, because all you have to do is put a little lid on that thing and put it in the sun.
Put it in the sun, but you got to put more into it.
We'll get into that.
Okay, so like what's a, should we just throw dirt in the bottom? Is that how you do it?
You could, but the best thing to do is to, you know, kind of determine how much material do you need to fill this vessel 1/3 to 1/4 of the way.
Okay.
So, you know, if it's a foot tall, we're going to fill the 3.5-4 inches of it with a combination of a thin layer of charcoal.
Charcoal, is that on the bottom?
Charcoal goes on the bottom.
Okay.
You can buy that at the pet store. They use it in fish tanks.
How handy.
If you got a fire pit outside, oak charcoal is the best for cleaning water.
Okay.
And that's what we use it for in the terrarium.
Okay. And then what do we put on top of the charcoal?
Once we have used up the charcoal, we want to save just a tiny bit of it to mix in with our soil mix.
Okay.
So if we were going to...
Is it like a potting soil that we should buy a pre-bagged?
Yeah. So I was going to say, like, if we were doing just regular house plants, which is common, you know, house plants, kitchen herbs, they do well in terrariums also. You're going to plant those in there. Now, if you were going to use succulents or cacti, you might need a different soil mix for that.
Okay, so you have to know what you want to plant to decide what kind of soil mixture to put in there.
Well, really, that's the only distinction. So succulents or cacti, they're going to have the more sandy soil, of course, and then the loamy stuff for the tropical house plants. African violet, thyme, real common, you know, dwarf maiden ferns and things like that. Anything will grow in the terrarium, and it will grow. And you may have to clip it and snip it and to keep it inside the boundaries of whatever vessel you've chosen.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, creating a world of your own with a terrarium. And after we've decided, you know, what kind of plants we want and put in that soil, then do we put the plants right into the soil or do we put anything else on top of that?
We do. And, you know, to give it interest, you might want to build it up, you know, a little bit. And
you mean like have like a high, like a hill?
Yeah, it might not be just a flat prairie. You know, it could be bowl-shaped. It could be have a depression in the center.
Maybe like have a pond?
Yeah, maybe you put a little cap from a jar in there and you fill it full of water, right?
Oh, what a cute idea.
Yeah, so you get to create this your own little world again, and you can be queen.
Absolutely.
Be king. And that's the way it's going to go. Mm-hmm. We're going to choose what we want in there. We're not confined to the Venus flytrap and some of the carnivorous plants because those are common. You see those sold that way. They like the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever you select for your terrarium, better love humidity, because it's going to happen no matter what. So
because you're going to put a lid on it?
That's right. It could have a lid on it. It could not have a lid on it. Typically, terrariums do have lids.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lots of antique glasswares out there that are wonderful terrarium items, and they don't have a lid. And if you end up having a lidless terrarium, you'll see that the plants will seek that opening out, even though the walls are clear.
They're escaping!
There's air movement up there. So that's one thing to anticipate. But you kind of create your own little world with the plants after starting with your charcoal base and a mixture of a 90%, 10% soil with the same charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you put all your plants in and you've created the little contours and little hidden garden compartments to your terrarium, then you want to add a little bit more soil to top dress it and make sure you're not leaving any air pockets around.
Yeah.
And then is, to me, the fun part. Do you get to create your world?
Do you put the plants in?
You put the plants in.
You put the plants in, then you put the stuff in for the plants.
Now you put the decor, the items, the pieces of sticks, moss, gravel, little tiny things, little squirrels, whatever.
Little squirrels?
Who knows? You know,
that would be so cute. So again, this is kind of hearkening to back to the miniature gardening, in that you can choose a theme and then you get decor to go with that theme.
Particularly with the decor part of it, because a lot of terrariums are just strictly plants, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one little detail, you asked me if you just throw the dirt in there. You can do that. But what you might get are gnats, and you might get a little bit of an odor.
Ew.
So that's the reason the charcoal is important. It helps clean and manage that water. It gives us a layer or a horizon of pore space where water can go into and dry up slowly. After you've put all of the components to your terrarium together, it'll be time to give it a drink. You want to be careful that you don't put so much water in there that you wash your work away.
Yeah, exactly. How do you know how much to water it?
Well, you're going to sprinkle your water in there to give everything a good bath and kind of wash the dirt off of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to monitor it that week after you plant it to see how long it takes for that watering to dry out.
So you need to get one of those measurement thingies?
That might be helpful, but we're born with one on each hand, and it's our finger.
Fingers!
And just stick it in there. You know, it's like a lot of people water house plants without checking them, let alone a terrarium. Terrariums will generate some of their own water if it's covered in particular, because you created this little ecosystem.
Cool.
Yeah, that is neat.
So if you like it, you better put a lid on it.
That's right. Okay. And overwatering can be a big problem, you know, so that's another thing that's great about terrariums. Once you get them up and running and you figure that part out, they're pretty much on cruise control after that. You got to watch it, though, when the furnace goes from heating to cooling.
Mm-hmm.
The sun angle will change, even though you've found a nice western or southern exposure.
Oh.
Sun gets higher. There's longer periods of sun. It's more intense sun. So it will have changes over the growing season, over the year.
Just like outside. It's because it's your own little world.
That's right.
What's your favorite thing to put in a terrarium, Murph?
You know what? It's been a long time since I've made a terrarium, but the last time that I did do one, I made like a southwesty thing.
Oh, so you had cacti.
Yeah, and I had a couple of, I collect arrowheads and little artifacts and stuff, and I made what to me was like my own little state park. So I made some little stepping stones out of arrowheads. Don't tell anybody.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, so that's not really the plant part.
Your own little state park.
Yeah, my own little state park, yeah.
Okay, next week, Murph has a question from a listener in Shirley, Illinois, about pruning fruit trees. So we'll take that after you've created your own world. Be the master of your own world with your own terrarium.
I am king there, Laura, I must remind you.
We will bow down before you. If you've got a gardening question or problem that you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website, wglt.org/grow. You just fill in the form and send it along to us. Send us a photo as well. Maybe Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. Just submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.